Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and we go now to West Virginia, where two branches of the state's government are simultaneously embroiled in scandal.
Earlier this morning, a federal indictment was unsealed, charging Justice Alan H. Loffrey II with 22 counts, including numerous fraud, false statements, and a witness tampering offense. A federal grand jury has charged a justice on the state's highest court with numerous and serious federal crimes. This is a solemn day for West Virginia and all West Virginians.
Corruption charges announced last week there against State Supreme Court Justice Alan Loffrey, and now lawmakers are on a path to impeachment and other justices could follow. Meanwhile, the state's Commerce Department is under fire for its mishandling of a flood recovery program. Jake Jarvis is going to help us sort it all out. He's a staff writer at the State Journal. Jake, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's start out in the state Supreme Court. Why is Justice Alan Loffrey at risk of impeachment?
Well, it really started months ago, last fall, when there was some reporting that came out from a local TV station about lavish spending at the court. And we're talking millions of dollars had been invested into renovating the space, and that raised a lot of concerns and questions about some of the spending. For example, in Justice Loffrey's office, there was a $32,000 couch with $1,700 throw pillows, and so that raised a lot of concerns about, you know, using a public office for private gain. So that launched a federal investigation, an investigation by a Judicial Investigations Commission here, legislative audits, and over the last couple of months, that information has been trickling out, and now we're in the process of possible impeachment.
And give us a sense of who Justice Loffrey is. What was his reputation like before now?
Yeah, well, he's a Republican in the state. He's been around for a while. He's been on the court since 2013. He was the Chief Justice last year. He's been since stepped down from that position. But what's interesting, though, is Justice Loffrey wrote a book on corruption. It was something like, don't pay for an election, I won't buy another vote. And in one of the audits that came out, it came out that he used a state vehicle to improperly go to a book signing for this book about corruption. And so there's a little bit of irony with that.
I was going to say, we can use the he literally wrote the book on this.
Yes. Tell
us a little bit about the other judges that might be implicated in all this.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other justices haven't been implicated as much, and of course, none of them have faced any federal indictment, but they have been implicated in some smaller legislative audits. And there's another justice, Justice Menas Ketchum, who's been mentioned. He's paid back several thousand dollars to the state for his use of state property. But it's not clear if any of the other justices will face such severe consequences like Justice Loffrey. The way it's worded, any of the justices could you know, face that impeachment. And the lawmakers have signaled that they want to look at all five justices on the court to really suss out if any other people are responsible for wrongdoing.
Now, as we mentioned in the introduction here, there is turmoil in another part of West Virginia's government. Tell us about what's happening with flood recovery programs.
Right. Well, if you remember, 2 years ago, West Virginia had a really devastating flood. Two dozen people died. Lots of homes in really low-income areas were destroyed or damaged beyond repair. So because of that, millions of dollars have flowed in. But one program in particular called RISE, it's a $150 million program funded through HUD, and there's been lots of questions of why it hasn't done more work until now. And so recently, a legislative audit came out that said that the agency overseeing it, the Commerce Department, illegally entered into several different contracts, totaling millions of dollars. And beyond that, a lot of people have questioned, you know, why haven't these flood survivors, why haven't more of them gotten their homes yet? Only, I think, 20 or so is the most recent count of homes that have been rebuilt. Only a fraction of that total money has been spent. And as this has come out, there's really kind of been a clearing of house at the Commerce Department. The cabinet secretary is gone. At least four other people that we know of have been either fired or resigned because of this controversy surrounding the program.
And so you mentioned only a small percentage of West Virginians who had been waiting for flood relief have actually gotten it. What is the reaction that West Virginians in broadly are having to both this justice and this flood recovery program situation?
Well, they're definitely frustrated. Flood survivors have been raising concerns about the program last year. You know, some of them have said, we were told we'd get help next week or next month, and that just never happened because the money wasn't available to be spent until February of this year. So there's part of a communication problem. And now we see more lawmakers turning to Governor Justice to say, you know, why has this happened? Why are there so many concerns with this? Why are there so many problems with this? And actually now we're seeing more calls for Governor Justice to resign. The governor, he lives 2 hours away from Charleston, and so he's not here all the time. And some people feel like if he were here, if he had been in the Capitol all the time, he would have seen the problems with this and could have prevented it from getting to this point.
So the governor is actually coming under fire, it seems. Could we see other changes in West Virginia leadership after all this?
It's hard to know for sure, but calls for his resignation aren't entirely new. This is just his style of governance. He's a little hands-off, but he says that he can still get the job done from wherever he is.
And what about the teachers' strike, just briefly? Has that had any impact on this either?
Mm-hmm. Well, teachers are definitely still fired up. They're in the process of trying to fix their health care, and there's still rallies going on. And we're seeing teachers try to apply pressure. They applied pressure in the primary, and they're looking for a couple of wins here in November.
We'll be paying close attention. Jake Jarvis, staff writer at the State Journal, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.